Welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Dive. And today we've got a fascinating story for you. It comes all the way from the Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
And it's about a lost and found wallet.
Okay.
It's kind of a lost and found wallet, but it's also about, you know, the kindness of strangers and and just the good side of human nature. So
yeah.
It's a really heartwarming story that I think you guys will really enjoy.
Looking forward to it.
All right. So to set the stage, it's the summer of 1999.
Okay.
Pre-Euro era.
Yeah.
So think guilders.
Okay.
And our narrator is relaxing in a friend's garden when suddenly his mobile phone rings.
Oh, back in the day.
Now remember, this is 1999.
Yes.
So we're talking about those big, clunky mobile phones.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that were practically the size of a brick.
The ones you could use as a weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The narrator even describes his phone as a fridge by today's standards.
I love that.
But anyway, he answers the call, and a woman on the other end tells him that she's found his wallet. But here's the thing. He checks his pocket, and his wallet is right where it should be.
What?
Yeah, so naturally, he's completely confused.
Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. How could someone have found my wallet if I still have it?
Right.
So he starts asking questions, trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And through this back and forth, they discover that the wallet actually belongs to Carol.
Carol.
Yeah, Carol. A friend of the narrator who's out birdwatching in Veldhoven.
So it was a case of mistaken identity.
Yeah, exactly. But it gets even more interesting because the narrator is wondering, how did this woman even get his number?
Why?
Like, how did she track him down?
That's a good question.
Well, it turns out that the narrator had given Carol his business card some time ago.
Uh-huh.
And that's how the woman managed to connect the dots.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah, it really makes you realize how these small, seemingly insignificant actions can have such unexpected consequences.
Yeah, that's so true.
And in this case, that connection led to something truly remarkable. The woman explains that the wallet contained a few hundred guilders.
Oh?
Now remember, this is 1999, before the euro?
Right.
So a few hundred guilders was actually a decent amount of money back then.
Yeah, you could buy a lot with that.
Yeah, she could have easily kept the money and moved on.
Easily.
But she chose to do the right thing.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it really makes you think about what motivates people to act with such integrity.
Yeah, I mean, especially when they could have gotten away with something else.
Right, so they connect her with Carol, and he's obviously relieved and grateful to have his wallet back.
Of course.
He offers to compensate her for her troubles, even suggests sending flowers, but she refuses any kind of reward.
Really?
Yeah, she insists that she was happy to help, and that's all the reward she needed.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's a really powerful example of someone doing good just for the sake of doing good.
It really is.
It challenges that notion that we always need something in return for our actions.
Yeah, like that everything has to have a payoff.
Exactly. Maybe sometimes the feeling of doing good is its own reward.
Maybe it is.
And, you know, I think that's a really beautiful thought.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a reminder that there's still so much good in the world,
mm-hmm.
and that even small acts of kindness can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about getting a reward or recognition. It's about doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. And you know what's even more remarkable about this story?
What's that?
This wasn't an isolated incident for this woman.
Really?
Yeah. As they were talking, she casually mentions that just the week before, she found 1,000 guilders.
Wow.
At an ATM.
1,000 guilders. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, a considerably larger sum than what was in the wallet.
Right.
And without hesitation, she turned it in.
That's incredible.
It really is. It suggests that this wasn't just a random act of kindness.
Yeah.
There's a consistency to her behavior.
Sure.
A pattern of integrity and empathy.
Makes you wonder, are some people just wired for this kind of altruism?
Mm. That's a great question. Is it nature or nurture? Or perhaps a combination of both.
Right. Like we've talked before about the evolutionary advantages of helping those close to us.
Mm-hmm.
But what about acts of kindness towards complete strangers?
It's an interesting area of research. There's a theory that altruism actually triggers the release of endorphins in our brains.
Oh, so you're saying that doing good can actually make us feel good.
Exactly. There's a reason why some people call it a helper's high.
I've definitely felt that before. Mm. Like that warm, fuzzy feeling you get after helping someone.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that feeling can be incredibly powerful. Studies have shown that engaging in regular acts of kindness can lead to increased levels of happiness and well-being.
So it's a win-win. You brighten someone else's day and boost your own mood in the process.
Exactly. But it's also important to remember that while our biology might play a role,
yeah.
our environment and upbringing are also significant factors in shaping our altruistic tendencies.
So you're saying that if we're raised in an environment that emphasizes empathy and compassion?
Exactly. We're more likely to embody those values in our own actions.
So in a way, kindness can be contagious.
I like that way of putting it. It highlights how interconnected we all are.
Right.
One person's act of kindness can inspire a chain reaction, spreading outward and impacting those around them.
It's like that old saying, what goes around comes around, but in a positive sense.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all part of a larger web of humanity. And even though the world can sometimes feel divided and chaotic, these acts of kindness remind us of our shared capacity for good. They offer a glimmer of hope, a reminder that we can choose to make the world a better place, one kind act at a time.
It's pretty amazing, right? Like you hear these stories and you can't help but feel a little bit more hopeful about the world.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even in the midst of all the chaos and negativity, there are still people out there who are genuinely kind and compassionate.
Exactly. And for this last part of our deep dive, I thought it'd be interesting to kind of shift gears a little bit
and
really explore the psychology behind these acts of kindness.
I like it.
Like, why do we do them?
Yeah.
What motivates us to help others, even when there's no personal gain involved?
It's a fascinating question.
It is, right? Okay. We've talked about the feel-good chemicals that are released in our brains when we help others.
Yeah, the helper's high.
But is there more to it than that?
Well, there's definitely more to explore.
Yeah.
One area of research that I find particularly interesting is the concept of pro-social behavior.
Pro-social behavior.
Yeah. Essentially, it refers to any action that's intended to benefit another person or society as a whole.
Okay.
And what researchers have found is that there's a whole range of motivations behind these actions.
So it's not always just about that helper's high.
Right. While the feel-good chemicals definitely play a role,
yeah,
there are other factors at play as well.
Like what?
Well, sometimes we act pro-socially because we genuinely empathize with another person's situation.
Right.
And we want to alleviate their suffering.
Makes sense.
Other times it might be about upholding social norms or living up to our own personal values.
So it could be a combination of empathy, social pressure, and personal values.
Exactly. And it's also important to note that these motivations aren't always conscious.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes we act prosocially without even thinking about it. It's almost like an instinctive response.
Like an automatic reflex.
Exactly. Especially when we see someone in need.
That makes me think about the woman in our story.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't hesitate to return the wallet,
mm-hmm.
even though she could have easily kept the money for herself.
Right. It was like second nature to her.
Exactly.
And that actually brings up another important point, which is the role of our upbringing and cultural background.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If we're raised in an environment where helping others is emphasized and valued,
mm-hmm.
we're more likely to internalize those values and act accordingly.
So it's this complex interplay of nature and nurture.
Exactly.
That shapes our tendency to be kind.
It really is fascinating stuff. And I think as we wrap up our deep dive today,
mm-hmm.
the key takeaway here is that we all have the capacity for kindness within us.
Yeah.
It might manifest in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, a small act of helping a neighbor, volunteering in our community, or simply offering a kind word to a stranger.
Right.
But the potential is there.
It is. And it's a powerful reminder that even in a world that can often feel cynical and divided,
yeah.
we can choose to be the change we want to see.
Absolutely. We can choose to spread kindness one act at a time.
And who knows, maybe we'll even inspire others to do the same.
Exactly. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
And until next time, keep diving deep and keep spreading kindness.